Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
Today, guys, we're going to be talking about another case study on just some commercial deals that Jeff's been making some offers on. And this is kind of, if you're a seasoned investor, I think you would want to start transitioning into commercial if you haven't already. But even if you're new and you just want to jump right into commercial, I mean, this is going to be a great episode for you, right, Jeff?
Yes. Actually, the next two episodes will do two different case studies. And the reason that I want, if you remember, we did a series of stuff like way back, like seven series of different types of properties and what are some of the major uses of owner financing regarding each type. We kind of tabled commercial, and what we'll probably start doing is, because I'm doing more commercial, we're going to start looking into it, because there's opportunity to make big money, life-changing money in some cases.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, this year, 2020 specifically, I'm moving into commercial as well with mobile home parks. Yep. So as I find them, I would love to, you know, collaborate with you, Jeff, and come up with some creative financing offers. So,
well, and it's going to be interesting. So I'm working with another investor that also does creative financing with commercial, and we'll start introducing even some new strategies that really work better for commercial than they would probably residential, and that different. I mean, you really are thinking outside of the box. So it'll be fun. We'll start here. We'll do a couple, and we'll continue to expand on it.
That's awesome. We're going to have to change this podcast to the Creative Financing Podcast for commercial investors.
Well, we won't forget about the residential and the small multifamily, because there's certainly money to be made there.
Yeah, of course. Cool. Well, let's jump into it. So case study number one.
Yeah. So the reason that I wanted to use this is that, one, I do not have this under contract. I just made an offer on it yesterday. And okay. But I do want this property, and I'm willing to just pay them cash for what they're asking. But, you know, I am a male. I do have an ego. I try to get things for less, and or with creative financing, right? So, yeah. So I threw out some offers, and you know, we're recording on a Saturday. I made these offers on a Friday. On Monday, I will follow up and see where we're at, what's going on. It is not a listed property, but it is through a realtor that I'm making the offer. So my realtor that I work with went and found this property. I don't know if it's a pocket listing or if it's just an off-market deal. But I would tell you that more and more, I've started doing deals with listed properties. Certainly easier to do them on some of the bigger stuff, like, you know, duplex, fourplex, sixplex, or commercial like this deal is. And I like it because this realtor, we've worked together now probably for maybe 9 months, and we had some misses at first, but probably in the last 6 weeks we've probably done six deals, something like that, with him. So he's getting paid either his commission or something that he's negotiated. And I told him it might be worthwhile to start looking at some of the bigger type properties so that you get paid more rather than, you know, we did a deal where I think I got it for $85,000. I'm like, I don't know what you made on that, but it couldn't have been much. And so now he's brought me, you know, $400,000, $3 million. He's starting to get the idea. So what we're going to talk about is that I did not have much information. We're going to talk about this on both deals, is that I don't have a lot of information. And that is not uncommon when you're dealing with realtors. They're almost like afraid to go ask what's owed. And typically the answer I get is it's either free and clear or yeah, they do have a mortgage. And I'm like, hey, it'd be nice to know approximately how much that mortgage is, because if we're kind of structure terms, I've got to know if the numbers are going to even work. I'd like to know what that monthly payment is. Does that include taxes and insurance? I'm still teaching him to gather that information. He's getting better, not quite there yet. But what I would tell you is that sometimes it's just worth making an offer and then gathering all the details a little later, right?
Yeah, I was just going to make that point, Jeff. If you don't have all the information, you could still just submit an LOI, right? Just your letter of intent.
Yeah.
And you can see where it goes. If they're interested and they want to put it under contract, well, guess what? Give yourself 60 days due diligence to figure out all the numbers, especially on commercial property.
And we're going to make that point super clear, because this one, I have enough information to know what I want. The next one, I don't have enough information and I have no idea if I even really want the seller to accept one of my offers. But at least I know that if he does, then I get to dig deeper and see if these will work, right?
Right. Yep.
All right. So this property is very unique. It is a mixed use property.
And is it in Idaho or?
Yes, okay. It is in Idaho. It's mixed use. And what it is so it's commercial on the bottom, and on the top are residential units. The top is totally gutted. So all the units need to be put in again. There are potential for 10 units. On top of which, there's like this bonus commercial, like strip mall, like 3 units right behind it. Okay. And the way it was described to me is they are really rough, and so that they will need quite a bit of work. So I'm not even thinking about the 3 potential commercial units, although I do believe that they're worth some money.
Just retail space?
They could be like retail. They could be like a bar. They could be a restaurant. But they have... where this is located is a high traffic area, and so there are all kinds of possibilities. But I am looking at it just strictly from the main building, okay? Main building.
Which is a mixed use, so is it
mixed use? Yep.
And then retail on the bottom, is that?
That's right.
Okay.
So this property is... they're asking $450,000 for it. Okay. So here's what you need to know. This is all I did know. There's one tenant. It is the U.S. Postal Service.
Great tenant. That is a great tenant.
Yep. And they pay like $3,400 a month.
Okay.
So my quick analysis was, all right, if they're asking $450,000 and it's already bringing in $3,400 a month, by the way, the tenant's not super happy, so they would love to see because there's been a couple of maintenance issues that haven't been taken care of, and you know, we certainly don't want them moving. Right. I want that tenant for sure. But think about this for a second. If you already have like $3,400 a month income coming in on a $450,000 purchase price with the opportunity to put 10 more units in for You already have the space. It was done. They just were probably in terrible condition. So someone started to do the work. So they demoed it all. And now you get to start from scratch and put in new, brand new, apartments in an area where new is not that common. There's a lot of old. So I just thought, wow, this is an opportunity. It's pretty cheap.
10 apartments?
10 apartments.
One bedroom, two bedroom?
They'll probably be one bedroom, but you probably could get a couple of mix. So one and two probably.
What would you rent those out for? $750?
Probably like $650.
Let's call it $900 then.
What's that?
I said, let's call it $900.
$650.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's that's huge upside.
Yeah. And then don't
forget another $6,500. So there's huge upside.
Yeah. Even if you had to go put in, let's say, $25,000 per unit, another $250,000. You will be bringing in quite a bit of money based on where you're at.
Yeah.
Plus, don't forget about the commercial.
Almost nearly 10 grand just with the post office and in those 10 one-bedroom apartments.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 9,000.
You probably, because they'd be new and the location, you probably get 700 if they're all one-bedroom. If they're twos, you're going to get more like 850. I think there's some upside here, right?
So you could be into it like 700K, if you were to add another 250 to it.
Yeah. And bring in, 10 plus thousand.
Bam.
Plus the upside of the commercial. I immediately said, I'd be interested. But that's all I knew, right? I don't know if this property is free and clear. He did ask them if they'd be open to terms, and they said, bring us an offer. And so I wrote offers, and that's what we're going to go over and why. But I'm willing to pay them $425,000, $435,000 for this property, cash, if I need to. I'd prefer not to. And I'll show you why I'd prefer not to.
So that'd be like a 10 cap rate, I think.
Hopefully, maybe even a little higher depending.
I was just running rough numbers, at that, $9,900 a month times that by 12 and then take off 40% for expenses just roughly. And then that was like 71,000 or something. And then just divide that by 700,000, and that's a 10 cap right there.
And who knows really too,
including the other retail.
But who knows really, I asked that the realtor walked it for me, took some video, but I don't know, maybe there's opportunity to get 11 units instead of 10. I don't know some of these answers. And but I do know that let's put in an offer and then we'll figure it all out if we can get this under contract, right?
Yeah.
All right. So what I did first, let me ask you, Jonathan. So if this lead came across your desk, what offer would you focus on first, right away?
I don't know. I don't know that I would want to pay cash.
Okay, but would there be a cash offer, do you think?
Yeah, I think you would include it.
Okay, so tell me where you'd want to be. What would be your cash offer? They're asking $450. I always like to start with cash. That's like the easiest. Maybe not in this case. But
$420 or something just to go lower. I think it's still a great deal at $450.
Yeah, I'm with you. So I made an offer of $413 and some change.
Okay. So yeah, I would have been at.
Because if they take my cash offer for that, I'm good. Yeah. That's fine. That's not my preference, but and to be honest, I'm just now thinking of a better offer I should have made. But, you know, I was in a rush. Like, I promised him that if he went and saw the realtor, if he went and walked through it, I'd have him offer right away. Yeah. But I'm already thinking I should have come up with a short-term financing offer. And the reason for it is that...
Well, what's short-term in the commercial space? 2 years?
Short-term might be 12 months. It might be 18. It might be 24.
I think if you're going to do any kind of turnaround with the property, you would need at least 2 years.
Well, I'd probably go like 18 months on a short-term because... If you've got a blank slate, it shouldn't take too long to put all that in place, a couple, 3 months. And even, you know, potentially do whatever you wanted to do on the commercial, then give yourself time to get it all rented and the way that you wanted, and then turn around and refinance the property because it's going to be worth considerably more. You'll be able to pull out all your cash. So that should have been one of my offers now that I'm thinking about it. And maybe it should have been for, you know, 425, 427, 428, somewhere in that where, you know, here's $40,000 down. We'll make some kind of payment, interest, principal, you know, amortize, whatever. Just because you're going to put a bunch of money into this property, you don't really want it to be stuck in this property, right?
Yeah. So tell me this real quick, Jeff. Those units, are they there, or do they have to be built out completely?
So they were there. So, but now they're gutted.
Gutted to studs?
That's my guess, is that it's down to the studs. For some reason, I didn't get video on that portion. Okay. So those would be two offers right away that I would make.
Cash and then an 18-month term.
Yeah, and if you didn't feel comfortable with 18, then you go 24. But I do think that you'd want more than 12. Maybe I offer 12 with... the right to extend it for 6 months for, you know, whatever, a principal only payment, $5,000, something like that. Okay?
Yep.
All right. So I came up with several other options, and what I wanted to do is vary it based on the purchase price. So I have one that's, we came in cash, which is considerably less than what they're asking.
We're 13.
We'd have that short-term financing that's better. So now let's talk about like the highest one.
What would your short-term financing be?
So I think it would be like 425. I'd probably go like 428, something like that. So it's like 15 grand more than my cash, with, you know, a significant amount of money down so they feel secure. And, you know, some monthly payment. And that monthly payment would be based on that, hey, right now I realize that the only income's coming from that one tenant, and I won't pay more than, we're going to at least break even based on that one tenant while we're doing everything else.
Yes.
Even if I had to structure it for, hey, for the first year, this is the payment until we now can get, you know, additional rents going.
Yeah, so you're evaluating it based on the current income it's bringing in.
Yes, absolutely. Because the one thing I don't want is I don't want to have money that I had to put down, money that I'm putting into the property, and money that it's costing me because we're not generating enough money.
Yeah, see, I was going to ask you, like, where do you go with that? Do you base it off of its potential income or current income? That was going to be one of my
current questions. Absolutely, current. Always,
right?
We're basing our offers on what the potential is. But when I say that, I am basing my offers because I'm going to plan on wholesaling this, right? And so I always have to look at what the potential is because otherwise I don't have a property to wholesale.
Yeah.
But I am making my offer based on what it is right now. And And you'll see with my monthly payments how I structured them. But this is what I was telling you, and we'll talk about this more after we have an interview with my partner that we're talking about with doing commercial deals, but you know, deferring payments even. So it would have been super good to know, you know, is there an underlying mortgage? Because maybe it's, hey, for the first year, we're just making your mortgage payment. Yeah, we're covering it. If it's free and clear, maybe there's no mortgage payment for the first year, or for the first 6 months or whatever. Maybe we even allow that interest to accrue on the back end, but there's no payments now. We can avoid that negative cash flow. There's all kinds of things, especially with commercial.
You haven't really talked about accruing interest that's tacked onto the back end.
Yeah. Well, this is commercial. That's where you're not going to really, you might do it on like small apartments that are like totally vacant, need a bunch of work. It's like, why do I want to start making a payment to you when there's no payment coming to me?
Interesting.
Yeah.
I've never even thought of that.
Yeah, we're not going to dive into that right now, but we will as we do some more commercial case studies. So
sweet.
This one's a little more straightforward. So what I did is I came up with option one, which is $460,000. So I'm offering them $10,000 more than what they're asking.
Should I pull out my calculator for this, Jeff? Or
you could. You certainly could. Are you doing it?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so that $460,000 is our purchase price with $50,000 down. So our present value would be $410,000. That's how much we're asking the seller to finance for us.
Yep.
Okay. This is my kind of proprietary single, simple interest, kind of hybrid. 2.5% interest.
I knew you'd go there.
Oh yeah, I always go there.
Yeah.
Until next episode, I'll show you what I had to do there.
Okay.
So what I did is exactly what we have done numerous times, is that I've looked at what expenses I had, and I didn't have many, right? I think I knew what the taxes were, but to be honest, I can't even think of it right now. Let's call it taxes were $3,000 a year, something like that. So $250 a month. So really what I'm doing is I'm backing out. I know what my income is, and then I'm going to back out the expenses that I know of. So I figured, maybe $400 between taxes and insurance. And I have no idea what insurance would be on this property.
Okay.
It might be more than that. I'm figuring just based on a $400,000-ish purchase price. But if you're going off units, it could be considerably more.
Yeah.
Some utility costs. I don't know who pays what. I was figuring another $300, something like that. So where are we at? Like 700 plus?
Yeah.
You'd probably need, you will eventually have a manager, but you probably don't need that manager yet, right? You got one tenant.
Post and, office.
Yeah. You should be getting paid. So, the payment coming in is about $3,400.
Yeah, minus $700.
So you're on 27?
Yep.
Yep. And let's say, because you know, we really don't know many numbers, that we have kind of a hedge factor of even $200-$300. Really all I want to know is that, hey, the deal with what we have right now will still work until we fix all the other issues. Okay.
Okay.
So before I even did that, what I do always is, all right, so they're asking around 450. Let's say that, you know, I was going to offer them $30,000 down payment. So I'm going to just figure out what would be a normal monthly payment. Okay. So I'm going to take like 420. You don't have to do this. I'll do this and you can just hold off. Okay. 420 at 4% interest over 30 years. It's about $2,000 a month. Okay. That would be the amortized loan. Now this is commercial. You're probably not getting a 4%. You may not even get a 30-year amortization. It may be 25, but that's all right. I'm just trying to get a roundabout number that would make somewhat sense based on, you know, the amount of money that we're asking them to finance.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go back to our example now.
Okay.
So we've got the 410, the 2.5%.
Yep. Interest.
So I picked, well, first of all, we did a 36-month term. So you can put 36 in as in.
Okay.
So I already know that a payment should be around 2,000. I believe that even around 2,000 that, you know, we've got a good cash flow. So I picked 1950 a month. 1950 as a negative.
Oh, yeah. Negative payment.
And now we're going to solve for future value. That's going to be our balloon payment.
Balloon payment after, after 3 years.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. And then what I do is I always let them know. Now, remember, I didn't know 100% if this is free and clear or if there was a mortgage. So that's the difference between letting them know if it's a net amount to them or a gross amount. Net being that the property's free and clear. But all I do is I take that $1,950 a month times 36.
Yep. 1950 times 36.
Plus our balloon payment, 369,077.
077.
Plus our down payment.
Plus 40?
50.
Oh, yeah, 50. It was 460 that you offered. Yeah.
Yeah.
50. Cool.
So they make $489,000 on a property they're asking $450 on for 3 years. So now, that again might be net or gross, and I don't know.
Okay? Yeah.
But I'm comfortable with this because, one, it's a decent down payment, and I have to make sure because I know at least my realtor is involved, and he's going to want to get paid, and there may be a second realtor involved. So that would probably be $26,000, $27,000 in just commissions plus closing costs. I wanted to make sure the seller was still getting some money. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I would have gone in even lower on the down payment. But to make this work, I think we had to be at least that much. So, so if price is the deal and they're okay staying in it fairly short term, 3 years, this might work. It would certainly work for us or our buyer, right? Because you're already creating cash flow just based on your one tenant and you can go fix all the rest of the units.
Yep.
Okay, so second option.
Okay.
I came in at 450. Purchase price, so what they're asking.
Minus your down payment.
Minus 60 down payment. So we're asking them to finance 390.
390, okay.
This is more conventional.
390 present value.
Yep, 4% interest amortized over 30 years.
4% interest, 360.
Yep, solve for payment.
Then our payment would be 1861,
right?
Change.
So we already know that we're good at 2000. So 1861, we're totally fine with. Now let's do a 5-year term. So I want them to carry a little longer on this deal. So put in 60.
60 for as
in. Yep.
Yep.
Solve for future value.
Future value. 352,745.
So if you go the 5-year term, you're going to have a balloon of 352. If you go for the 3-year term, you got a balloon of 369. There's about 17,000, maybe $16,000, $17,000 difference. So if you want to stay in it 2 years longer, You know, you get a little more down payment.
Bigger down payment and you make about 17 more.
Yeah. And so when we figured out what the net or gross, you know, we do the same thing, 1861.
1861 times
60 plus 352, 745.
52,745
for plus the $60,000 down payment.
Plus 60. For grand total, $524,405.
So if they want to stay in this for 5 years, they can make almost another $75,000 on what they're asking.
Yeah, it's like a no-brainer.
Well, we don't really have any idea what the situation is.
Yeah.
We don't know what's owed.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't even know if our payment's covering their payment.
True.
So, I mean,
you think
if it's free and clear, and yep, they're not looking to do any kind of tax 1031 exchange, they're going to have to pay taxes, and they don't have an absolute need for this equity. You're right.
It's a great deal.
They certainly should look at one of these two options. That's why I did this.
Especially if they want to be a passive landlord from now on.
Yeah. Yeah. This is exactly what we talked about Mike Cowper doing, except he was getting 11%. We're not offering that. So,
right.
But, you know, it still works for this seller, hopefully. But I'm trying to cover all my bases here, right? That makes sense if. Price, if they're price conscious, I offered them their purchase price and above. If they need their cash, I offered them a cash offer. If they're willing to stay in it short term, that we can get them some money up front and make that work. I have one more offer.
And you're kind of staying, you know, somewhere close to the 10% down.
Well, to me, one, if I offer more than 10, if I offer in considerably more, then I can't go back, right?
Yeah.
So I can go up. So if they came back and they said, look, I like option one or two, but you know, we need 80 grand up front. I might be able to make that work. You know, on a commercial deal, how much would you have to put down to go to the bank and get a loan?
25 to 30%.
So you're going to range from probably 20 on some of the low end to a lot of times 25. And depending on the bank and the asset, maybe even more, right?
Yeah. So, and you're probably going to get a better deal at 30% down than you would.
Oh, yeah, certainly. But
so you could always, I think with commercial, just always plan on if you're getting bank financing 25 to 30 down.
So if I was trying to, let's say, wholesale this, and I had to come up to $75,000, $80,000 down payment on a $450,000 property, you know, that's like $90,000. So could I still make a profit, even if someone had to come with a 20%, even a little bit more, because they're not getting these terms. Right? They're not going to the bank and getting 2.5% or 4 even.
Correct.
So, yeah, I might be able to get 25% down from my buyers just because they know that they've got to put 25% down on a commercial deal. And that we love your terms a lot better than what we'd get at a bank.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's some room here. But
that's the beauty.
But the reason that I don't want to make that offer is that if I do, there's nowhere for me to go, right?
Yeah,
if I offer them 80, I can't really start going up to 100.
You're like, since you didn't accept that,
yeah,
now 40,000 down.
Well, and if I did that, then my last offer would not make any sense. And, so my last offer is a seller carryback subordination.
Okay.
So this would actually work great on this property if we understand what the underlying loan portion is. So
yeah,
I'm making this offer based on that I don't think there's any underlying debt.
Okay.
So I'm offering them 450, their purchase price.
Okay.
And I'm giving them 100 grand down.
Okay.
So what I want you to first do, Jonathan, do on your little calculator. What's 100 grand plus or times 8%?
monthly payment of, or that's annual.
Yeah.
8,000 a year. And then, yeah. Divide that by 12 and 666.
Okay. So we already know that we could be around that 2000 range. We could probably even be 2100 and be fine. Right.
Uh-huh.
And that's worst case scenario. Do you think that it would be very difficult to go find $100,000 on a property that's worth the minimum of 450 in first position?
Nope. Shouldn't.
No, easy, right? Yeah. I mean, I could borrow hard money, no problem, but right. I don't want hard money. I'd rather have private money at 5, 6, 7, 8% if I had to.
Yep.
So that's what we would do, is offer to borrow this amount in first position on the property. That means that if there's any underlying debt, it would have to be paid off with this $100,000. That may or may not work for them. I don't know. But if it's free and clear, they certainly could do it. Okay. So if they needed more cash than what I was offering in the first two options, this might work for them.
Okay.
Now they're getting 100 instead of 60 or 50. And if I had to, I could make this more like 125. And if you go back to our last episode, if this was a property that I wanted to use my substitution of collateral money on, I could probably go offer them $195,000 up front, because I'm making a $600 a month payment on that, right? So,
Yeah.
All right. So we're offering them 100 down.
Yes.
It's going to be borrowed against the property. So we have how much left in equity?
350.
Correct. Okay. So now we got to figure out what we can pay and how we want to pay it. And there's a ton of different ways that you can do this. You could offer interest only and keep your payment pretty low. You could offer an amortization where your payment will be higher. You could do principal only payments. What I chose to do is just go back to what I did in option one, which is offer my 2.5% simple interest. And the reason that I go to this is that, what, Jonathan, you've done this enough. What do you think is like the most flexible part when I decide to use this particular equation? When I start to use my 2.5% simple interest, what is like the most flexible part of this equation?
Your payment.
A payment, right?
Because
I can choose what that payment will be.
Yeah, and that's one of the most important things for cash flow, either for you or for your buyer, whoever that may be.
So when I look at like the subordination, now think about this. If we offer $100,000 down that we can go borrow, right? And then the seller is willing to carry back the balance of their equity in second position. If I'm the buyer, how much money do I have to come up with up front?
Nothing.
Zero, right? So that's great. That's a zero down deal.
Yep.
And if I'm wholesaling this, what's the amount of money my new buyer's got to come up with?
Well, if they bring in this loan, then nothing.
Well, but really, well,
your wholesale fee.
Fee, right?
Yeah,
which
your
is,
wholesale fee.
I don't even know what it would be, but my guess is $30,000 to $50,000, depending on what I find out after I get this under contract about what the possibilities are here.
Yeah.
And so now I've got to figure out, what do I want to happen here? So normally what I want is that I'm already thinking about my buyer. So they can get in pretty light. But if I am charging $50,000, isn't that like 10% right off the bat?
Yes.
I mean, they're already at that 10%. And in 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, whatever I structure, how much money will they still owe on this property?
Loan that they took out, the $100,000.
Yeah. So they've got to pay that back in full. There's no principal pay down, right?
Correct.
So, and they literally had no money down. So there's no principal pay down there. So now I've got to decide, how do I want to structure this second? So I could structure it where, hey, our cash flow is super good, right? A low payment that gets us more cash flow per month, which is certainly acceptable. What I'd like to do is I'm trying to find a way to get like around 10% pay down over the course of whatever term. That way, they may still have to come with money at the end, but it's not going to be as much. And hopefully they've increased the value of it. And maybe there's been some appreciation over the time. But I don't want them to be stuck with, hey, you know, I still owe $450,000 basically at the end of the term.
Right, right.
So that's why I'm going to use this, my 2.5%. A lot of times I use principal only. It just depends on how the numbers work out. And I spread it out over 48 months. So I did 48 term. So you can put that in.
48 for in. Okay. Yep.
And we figured out our payment was $666 at worst case scenario, right? On the first, on the 100,000, right? So I decided to use a $1,300 a month payment.
Okay.
So, and then $1,300 negative.
Yeah. So you just try to keep it somewhere around that 2,000.
I know that that number will work.
Yep.
So,
okay. So payment.
Yep. So now it's all for future value.
321.
So we're getting about almost a $30,000 pay down over the course of 4 years.
Correct.
The seller's making some interest, so they're going to make more than the $450,000 that was offered. They have, you know, they're getting a little bigger down payment. This allows for the buyer, whether it's you, for zero, or, you know, someone I sell it to for a smaller amount to get into this deal. And to be honest, most likely on all of these options, that most likely you're not going to carry this to term, because there's going to be a significant amount of work needed on this property. And once you put in that work, you know, if you have a 3-year, 4-year, 5-year term, there's no way to get that money back out.
Yeah.
So, what would be ideal is to get it to the point where, you know, you can now have it appraised based on all the income, and hopefully it comes in at, you know, $1.3 million or something like that. And now you're financing, you know, $900,000. You're pulling all your money out, all your down payment, your rehab costs, everything. Hopefully you're going to pull it all back out. You're going to have no money in this, and you're going to have a renovated property that's cash flowing pretty well for you, with no money out of pocket.
Right.
That's the goal. However, we just talked about this on our last episode. What should we do if we're going to cash these people out early?
Ask for a discount.
So there's two things that we should ask for. One is would be a discount. Hey, I could probably get you paid off early. I just came into some money. You know, I owe you, well, whatever, $380. You know, if I could get you paid off here in the next couple of weeks, would you take $355?
And then number two, ask if they would like to continue to carry that note with secured with another property.
That's right. Substitution of collateral.
Yes.
Because, you know, if this property is free and clear, even if it's not and the note was big enough, you know, you could break it. So think about this. And this might be a little too advanced. So if you don't get it, don't worry about it. So let's say that they owed a small amount on this, like $150,000. And you created one note. Maybe you created two notes. Well, whatever the case may be, you could do either or. But let's say that you created a note for $410,000 on option one. And that includes their $150,000. Yep, I would just say, look, if you don't want to get paid out and you want to continue to earn interest, you want to continue to extend your tax consequence, we'll just amend the note. So we'll create two notes, you know, your $150,000 underlying mortgage, your, what would it be, two, 210, 220 would be the balance of their note, right? Or thereabouts, something like that, whatever principal pay downs occurred. So let's call it 200. So we'll just create a new note for 200, and then we'll instruct our title company that, hey, the underlying debt gets paid off. That's done. And the other 200,000 gets held in escrow with these instructions about substitution of collateral.
Yeah.
And you could go do that after the fact if you didn't set it up correctly to begin with.
Initially, right. Yep. That's cool. And even with your last offer, Jeff, was that offer four?
So I made four offers, but
subordination.
But I had that epiphany that I should have made that.
Oh yeah.
Financing.
Yeah, the cash offer.
So there was actually five.
Yeah. So with that subordination offer, I just did the math there. They would still net over that 4 years, $483,614. Just taking that offer, and they would get $100,000 or $100,000 up front.
Yeah.
So that might work, but I wanted to make the point that on all of these offers, except for the cash offer, the short-term financing offer that we discussed, on all these creative offers, the seller's making considerably more money.
Yeah.
On the hold it for, you know, I mean, in commercial, it's kind of considered a short period of time, I think.
Yeah. 3-5 years. 5 years was my longest term.
Yeah, exactly. So that, I mean, these are pretty short terms in the commercial world, and we're able to show the seller that they're going to net a lot more money going this route than if they just wanted that 450.
Yep.
Today.
Yeah. So. Well, and to be honest, I mean, I made these longer term offers with the idea in my head, if it were me, that I would be cashing these out early, and that it would give me an opportunity to either discount the mortgage or ask for substitution of collateral.
Right. Yep. And that is how you continue to build on momentum with creative financing and using turning over that money to a new project. Because if you're going to continue to do this, I mean, which you will, Jeff, for, you know, the next 20 years, and especially in the commercial world, and you get these people that's like, yeah, let's substitute that collateral. Let's keep that interest payment coming in.
Yep.
I mean, you can eventually end up with a ton of capital that you can deploy on bigger and bigger projects.
Yep. But do we have time, Jonathan? Because I'd love to just add one more point to this.
Yeah.
All right. So. I can do a number of different things with these offers, right? So I could buy this property myself and renovate it and own it. I could wholesale this property and just create the terms that make sense for someone else and get an assignment fee and get paid and move on. What if I bought it? And when I say bought it, I'm not bringing $50,000 to the table. What if I went and found a buyer that will bring $80,000 to the table and will pay not 2.5%, but will pay 5.5% or 5.25% or even 5%. I finance them for 30 months. I'm just curious. So if let's say we sold the property for $500,000, and we got 80, so we make 30.
Yep, up front.
Yep, and we only have a $10,000 difference of where we're at and where our new buyer would be at. But at 420, at 5%, which, yep, let's call 5% amortized over, well, let's just do 30 years. Okay, so. Maybe it wouldn't be worth it. Maybe it would. I would have a cash flow of $2,254. I'm making $300-ish a month. And then 36 months, let's see where they end up. So they still owe me $400,000. I would still have a $30,000. I only owe the seller $369. So I got another $30,000 coming to me. So I could potentially stay in the middle.
Yep.
And you know, I don't have to have that 50 grand. And some title companies will let you use your buyer's down payment. If not, worst case scenario is it's called transactional funding. And to be honest, to borrow the 50 grand as transactional funding, I mean, the super cheap, you right. might have to have like two sets of closing costs, but cost of doing business. But yeah, you know, and maybe this isn't ideal, but let's say that you did it on your seller carry back. So you were able to go borrow the 100 grand at, let's say, 6%. So you got good rate on your money. You went and sold it to for 500,000. You got 80,000 up front. How much do you get to keep? 80.
Oh, yeah.
Because you didn't have to bring any money to the table. So you get paid 80 grand up front. Now the question is you know, what are the rest of the terms? Is it worth staying in the middle for? And it might be. So there are all these different options, and commercials even better, because you know, there are these potentials. You can increase the value pretty dramatically. Fairly easily. I mean, sometimes it's very straightforward. Sometimes the rents are just low and you should raise them.
And what you're referring to is just an exit strategy, and another exit strategy. If you just didn't wholesale this, if you wanted to, I guess it would still be wholesaling it, but staying in the middle. And arbitraging the interest rate and arbitraging the purchase price and the down payment. That would be a great deal for you, for anyone, I think.
So that is one of the great things is that, sometimes I create the offers like, hey, I want to try to stay in the middle. On this kind of deal, I don't really know what the motivation is. If there is any motivation, I don't know. I didn't have a lot of information. So to me, it's like, I'm just trying to get this deal because I think it potentially will make me money, right? It might make me not as much. It might not be a home run or anything, but I expect that I should make 25, 30,000 on the low side and maybe as much as 40 or 50. Hey, to me, it's just another assignment fee. And I normally do this much or more work for less money. So
yeah. 16,000. Awesome. Well, I love that case study, Jeff. I really do. I think that it sounds like a phenomenal deal. Again, we don't know some of the other variables there. But it sounds like there is so much upside potential on that deal. And it sounds like it could even be, you know, just buying it as is and doing nothing else. It would be a great investment.
And that's because of the way we structured it based on what it is now, right?
Going off its current income. And that's very important, especially in commercial. But I love that case study because we're able to walk through all those offers and show our audience, hopefully we showed our audience how it's a great deal for the seller and for us. Whether we're going to stay in it in the middle, whether we're going to take the deal down ourselves and do the value add, or whether we're going to arbitrage the purchase price and sell it to another investor and arbitrage the interest, stay in the middle there, or just wholesale it, right? So like it's, I mean, I love those kind of deals because there's probably tons of commercial properties out there like that, right?
Yeah.
There's tons of upside potentials. And if you know how to structure terms like that, it really makes the deal work, right?
Well, and the cool thing is even, so this one has some value add for sure, right? I mean, with the additional units, some of them are more turnkey. And, what are people asking for turnkey stuff? I mean, even fixer upper stuff, same as residential. In some cases, they're over, asking, and you'll see in our next example, that's going to be something that we'll potentially deal with. But there's still ways, not in every case. I mean, you can't, It's like single family. You know, we can pay a little more than retail, but you want 50, 80, 100,000 more. It's like, no, it's not gonna work. But commercial, when they're asking for a 4%, a 5% cap rate, which is, you know, those are hedge fund kind of deals. Those aren't what our, you know, everyday normal investor is looking for. That's not where we want to be.
Right.
But if we structure the right terms, we might be able to make it where we want to be or where one of our buyers would want to be just based on the terms.
Right. Right. Yep. I love it. Okay, guys, I hope you've really enjoyed this episode and I hope you kind of get a little more value from just working through the numbers. If you're listening to this on a podcast, we're going to be getting this on YouTube, but bear with us on that. There's kind of more time consuming. It's more of a time consuming process, I should say, to get videos up than it is audio. But anyway, if you're listening to this, go back. If you're not in a position to use a financial calculator, go back and use a financial calculator because it's super easy. Just the way I followed along, he told me what to punch in. Just go back and do that because the more you start doing that, the more comfortable and easier you're going to be with making creative financing offers to any of the deals that you come across. So I just want to make that point. But Jeff, thanks so much for just going over those numbers, you know, line by line with us, because I learned so much from this. And like I said, I didn't know where we were going with, like, do you evaluate the deal based on its potential or do you use its current income? So you answered a question for me.
I do both. And I absolutely feel like you have to do both. But your offer needs to be based on what it is now. A lot of people try to sell based on what it could be.
Yeah.
And it, you know, you should be able to relate to this, is that, you know, it's just like a rehab, right? You've got to buy for a certain price where it'll make sense for you. But as far as the seller's concerned, hey, my $300,000 home that needs $30,000 in work, you know, I want $265,000 for.
Yeah, right.
You can't do that, right? Mm-hmm. That will not work for you. Well, and it's based on, hey, what's the condition of that particular house? And commercial is no different, although we start to think that it is. And I learned this kind of the hard way. I had a 58-unit apartment building that had great value add. There was big upside to it. But based on where I was price-wise, I was at like a 5% cap rate as is. And the market cap rate in that particular area wasn't even 5%. So I was paying more than retail for it in the current condition that it was in. Even though the upside was big, I was overpaying for it now.
Yeah.
I'm trying to avoid doing that.
Right, right. Okay, guys, if you want to reach us, we have a hotline number. If you're looking at a deal right now that you just don't know how to structure terms on, we want to hear from you. We want to potentially get you on the show or at least your deal on the show, and we'll present it to Jeff and we'll make an offer in real time so that you can see how it's done. And really, that's the best way we can add value to you. I mean, what if we can just give you an offer that you can hand over to your seller and your seller accepts it and it makes great sense financially? I mean, what more value could we give our audience, right?
Yeah.
So if that's you, if you're out there, you're looking at a deal, you're wondering, hey, this would be a great deal if I can just structure terms, but I don't know how, give us a call. Our hotline number is 877-409-8090. You can also text CFP to that number or Creative Financing to get a link to our video that Jeff did. Walking you through, you know, a single family home that he made offers on step by step, you know, taking it from his CRM all the way to his exit strategy. And then you can see his letter of intent there as well. So again, text CFP or Creative Financing to 877-409-8090. And if you're interested in Jeff's apprenticeship program, Jeff's looking for these commercial deals nationwide. It doesn't matter what market you're in. You could live on the west coast and look for deals on the east coast. It doesn't matter with commercial. Jeff's looking to for people that will find these deals, and he'll, you know, show you how to make money on them, and you'll get paid for doing so. So if you're interested in that, give our hotline a call and mention specifically that you're interested in his apprenticeship program, and he'll give you a call back. Did you want to add anything to that?
No, other than, well, maybe one thing that, so I basically have two apprentice programs. One is exactly what you just talked about, which I will give you very limited resources, but, you know, some different audios on how to talk to sellers, a lead intake sheet. So you kind of have a script to go off of. Really, that's it. No instruction. And then I have a paid apprenticeship. It's ridiculously cheap, where, you know, now you get training, part of a Facebook group, plus the opportunity to generate leads and get paid on those. So two different, it doesn't really matter which one that you're most interested in. But I would tell you that, I'm super excited for 2020. So this is going to be good.
Yeah, especially if you can pull down deals like this, Jeff.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, guys, we're also on Facebook at the Creative Financing Podcast. You can DM me there if you need to get a hold of us a little more urgently. We also have a YouTube channel that we're in the process of kind of building a video library or video archive for. So we'll start to get those more videos on there over time. So bear with us there. If you're still waiting, I apologize. But
don't apologize, Jonathan. Our podcast is great, and YouTube would be the bonus. So people can certainly follow through and follow along with a financial calculator and work through these things as well.
Right. Okay, guys, till next time, go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.